Welcome to the show, it's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here, let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online, it's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Stream Show. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show.
Hello and welcome to the Brother Streep Show.
Hello, I'm Tyler Streep.
Oh, he went in first.
What do you think?
Oh, I like it. It's strong. Better than Andrew going first.
Very strong.
It's a big week.
I prefer it.
Okay, well, who are you?
I'm Andrew Kerr.
I kind of spoiled today by saying your name.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, well, and I'm Simon. So why is it a big week, Till?
Girlfriend's back.
Hey.
Girlfriend's back and I'm going to be in trouble.
Girlfriend's back.
Wait, hang on.
Again.
We seem to have three different songs going on. What are you singing?
I just went da-da-da-da, like as if there was a horn line.
I was singing an old, like, 1960s song. You should look it up. It's applicable.
I didn't know it.
It's applicable to your situation.
I didn't know it. I thought you were making it up on the spot.
No.
And based on our 11 years of singing together, I thought Banana Now would have been the right thing to go there.
Banana Now works well if you're a minion, but I don't know.
I'm definitely not a minion. So... Liz was away in the UK for a year and she got back this week, which is very cool. I'll tell you what, everything is cool about it, but waiting for somebody at the airport is quite stressful.
Stressful? How's it stressful?
Because sometimes...
You worry that you're not going to recognize her. Yeah. It's been a year.
It's been a full year.
Is he greeting an old man? So good to have you back. Why are you so hairy?
It's stressful because sometimes they take long to come out.
That is true.
After customs. And when I know, like, obviously there has to be an order, so everyone has somebody has to be coming out towards the end. But when the airline pilots and stuff start walking out, you're like, I'm sure they must have quite a debriefing to go through and all of that. And then, so while they're waiting for their luggage, your loved ones on the other side, you're kind of waiting for your luggage. I should have tied a ribbon around her so I could recognize her.
And it's also been a big week for you because I've heard on the Facebook, I've just heard in person because we've chatted about it, that you've been looking at different places. How's that been going?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we spoke about me packing up some of my collectibles, last week. And I've been looking at places, to move out into in the next couple of weeks. Found one that seemed very, very good, actually.
You told me about it. It sounded amazing.
I did tell you about this. This was unbelievable. Andrew, I don't know, you've house hunted before. Maybe you can connect to this story. You look at these things and these ads on Gumtree and they all kind of blur into one eventually. It all seems to be the same thing for too much money. And then suddenly an oasis, or more like a mirage in this case, but this thing pops up and it's like 30 rooms for 20 Rand. Wow, that is so cheap for what I'm definitely going to get. So I emailed them. I said, this sounds amazing. Are you sure the price is right? Is it for the whole place or is it sharing?
Is it just for the cupboard underneath the sink?
Yeah, it's just for the price you pay to look at such a glorious ad. And he came back to me saying whole place can only view from the 15th. So I thought, okay, that's cutting it fine if it turns out to not be that good and you've put all your eggs in that particular basket. So I emailed back and I said, just barring a viewing, I'm ready to go. Is there any chance I could view slightly earlier? And he came back and said, you can't view while there's other people still living there. Fair enough. That makes sense. Meanwhile, he's also sent me a lease agreement, which I've sent on to my mom/lawyer to have a look at. She's got properties, so she knows about how to lease things out. Just check this out, mom. Thanks. She comes back to me and goes, so the two names on here, I've looked them up. These people don't exist. The property, the block of flats, I've looked that up and phoned it. It's a retirement village where the rules are quite clear that you can't move in unless you're over 50. So I guess I could wait on that one.
Do you think at that point were you contemplating, well, I've seen in movies people, there's makeup, there's wigs. Maybe I can just permanently...
Mr. Doubtfire the thing. And then she even went as far as phoning the bank whose account the number was in, like that you would be depositing the deposit into if it got that far. And I asked them about this account with this number, and they said it had just been set up like in the last couple of weeks.
Wow.
And so we're like, okay, so they definitely don't own the place. People don't exist, and the account is dodgy. And the next time I went to look at the ad, it was deleted, and the user didn't exist anymore.
And so you went for it, I'm guessing.
You'll
be there next week.
I'm very excited.
I find what's really weird about looking at houses or flats is that it's quite awkward, because I went through this a couple of years ago, and you walk into a place, and sometimes before you're even in the place, sometimes when you're kind of in the parking lot of the place, you know whether you're going to like it or not. You can tell the quality of the home or flat you're about to walk into. But there's no way, I'm too polite to just sort of get to one of those places and be like, cool, I'm out of here. I can tell. So you then end up walking into this place and you're kind of going like nodding and like, no, that's cool. No, that's the amount of dirt I was expecting to find in the bathtub. And then, it's just awkward.
I like my toilets to be leaking all over the place, actually. So this is perfect.
I've done the drive past.
Have you done the drive past?
The slow down, no thank you, and then just drive on.
Oh, George, I actually completely lie. I've done it once.
Yeah.
We did it once where we kind of like went through this, like it was in Weinberg somewhere, and we kind of went through this archway into this bigger parking lot, which is in the middle of where all the flats were. And then we were like, okay, this feels like that abandoned city in Maze Runner. And then we just kind of went out straight away.
What was interesting is that even after the place, I discovered that the place didn't exist at all. I was still thinking, it's a real pity, because it was really close to to here, actually, and to our friend Nick and another friend over the bridge. It was really close. I wish it... Oh, hold on. It never existed. Yeah.
It's pointless. It's like thinking, oh, man, Narnia was so great.
Yeah.
Fun can be found in streeping around.
So can we talk a bit about swearing?
Bloody hell, yeah.
Because what are the rules about public swearing? Because I've always thought that, I'm not opposed to swearing in general. If you've stubbed your toe or something and you swear, fair enough. Sure. Or if you've got a good mate and that's just how you talk, then that's how you talk. And who am I to judge?
Yeah.
But surely when you're in a public space, there's a sense of maybe that's not the best time to use naughty words.
Well, it's like smoking, secondhand swearing.
Yeah, so it is. I mean, it is a thing, right?
Yeah.
Because I was in... So twice today it's actually happened. Once, I was in a meeting with a client.
Yeah.
And, I mean, luckily, it wasn't aggressive swearing. It wasn't like, where's the effing video, Simon? And just so you guys know, I no longer do work at a church. I work at an animation studio. In case some of you were thinking, wait, doesn't he? That sounds... No, I have moved. It was quite sweary. It about like odd things like, the effing T thing is hard to operate, and
it wasn't directed at your work.
No, it was just directed in general.
That's how they converse.
A general thing. So it's like, well, I mean, that's interesting, but it is a bit weird to do in front of people you haven't met, because you don't know what they think.
Totally.
And then on the train today, I'm sitting to someone also just flicking it up, and I just start to show how I feel about these public indecencies that is coming across
verbal
my ears.
Yeah. I had a similar thing over Christmas this year. I was in the UK, and I'd gone to a Christmas Eve party where everyone was wearing these cool Christmas jumpers except me, because I didn't have one. How was I the odd one out not wearing a disgusting they're so surf these jumpers. But anyway, so there were about, I don't know, maybe 10 people, 9 or 10, and I'd never met any of them, really, maybe two. And this one guy, he was kind of the talkative one, the alpha male.
The 9-year-old. Or the 10-year-old.
Yeah. And as the night went on, he just started getting more and more sweary. And I was like, this is very strange, because, A, this is Christmas Eve. Let's be honest here. There's no place for your swearing.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of swearing in It's a Wonderful Life or Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Or at the Nativity.
Effing frankincense? Gotta be kidding me.
What am I going to do with effing frankincense? And to be honest, like, I cuss amongst friends and people who I know that the situation is fine.
Yeah.
But not in front of people.
You're
that
cautious around strangers.
Just met, It is. It's the polite thing to do.
It's very weird. I mean,
so,
even...
I'm going to play devil's advocate here and say, but do you not think that it is the ultimate sign of acceptance from these people? That they are so comfortable that they are willing to draw you into their inner circle, whereas you only
lack of respect.
You
actually,
only cuss with friends,
well,
but they're willing to cuss with anyone, and they are that friendly.
One needs to disagree with the devil's advocate, really. otherwise, one is siding with the devil, and I believe that you are wrong. It shows a complete lack of respect to present company. There were as many females as males. they tend to not love it as much as the males tend to seem to love flicking it off. And I just didn't understand. More eggnog, more swearing.
So back to this comfortability thing, I don't think it really works like that, because I, for example, at the end of the night, I normally go to sleep a bit later than when Christine does, and so I'll kind of come back into this lounge and I'll normally be wearing...
The studio,
wearing,
you mean, the studio.
Sorry, the studio.
Yes, and a I'll, very cool studio.
Yeah, I'll normally be wearing... clothes, but not necessarily loads of clothes. You know, I'm not necessarily very decent.
Like top off.
Yeah. Definitely wearing a shirt, no pants. Very, I'm doing the Donald Duck.
The most offensive of the nudities.
Yeah. And so that's comfortably how I am around home. Now, I don't think it's me accepting and being, you know, welcome to my family if when last week, like, our Christine's cousins were staying at our house.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have been very appropriate for me to be like, good evening, Cara. Good evening, Storm. Do you mind if I sit here?
It's top off then, time.
Yeah. And then just be
It doesn't
nude.
Work with clothes.
No, look, I mean, I agree with you guys because I abhor swearing in all of its forms, especially in public. Yeah, I'll say something. I prefer to say something weird.
Okay.
Like balls. Or all something right. like that.
That's not that weird.
No.
That's not that weird, but I mean,
especially
you know,
if
whatever.
You hit your balls.
Yeah. Then you say toe.
Like spinach or something. But they've proven that kind of thing does actually relieve the pain more effectively than...
Oh, that doesn't mean I have to do it. And saying balls is quite effective as well.
I used to say ShopRite checkers.
That's really? A good one. Yeah.
No, which is great, because it's good in terms of not saying the word that you were trying not to say, but it's also good promotional just advice to people. ShopRite checkers is out there. You don't have to shop at Pick and Pay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also not in that many situations where I'm stubbing my toe. Like, I can't remember the last time I stubbed my toe.
Really?
Yeah.
I think, you know, they say in an average lifetime, or the human stubs their toe 15 times or something like that. I think I've done it 30 and you've done it 9. That's how that average is calculated.
I went through a very long period of my childhood where I think I pretty much had half a big toe. So I just used to always stub it and it used to always be bleeding. And like, there was just
ShopRite checkers.
There's a lot of shopping
going
on.
Not a sponsor. Guys, I've got a question.
Okay.
Shoot.
Recently it was Easter.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we've talked about these on previous podcasts. Those big boxes of Easter eggs.
Yes.
Okay.
I like them.
Unnamed brand large box of Easter eggs.
Beacon. Which, Beacon, surely.
Okay, yeah, Beacon, there it is.
Definitely Beacon.
We all said it.
Who's buying not Beacon?
We should bring back Slanderous. Slanderous.
Well, so my question is, right, you know that you have to open up the egg, and if you get a little ticket, you SMS the code. But now, I was in a situation where we were away for the weekend with other people. Yeah. We bought the box.
Wait, pause. I just want to hear if you're correct.
Yeah.
You were a wafer for a weekend.
I was a wafer for the weekend.
Okay, interesting.
And I was with my wafer friends.
Was Claire a Toblerone?
So my question is, if a friend opens an egg
this is a good question.
SMS's in, who gets the cash if they win?
Oh, well, that, see, the thing is,
great question.
I get where you're going with this, because unfortunately I think it ends up being the person who texted.
It's got to be the person who texted. It's like gambling.
But would it be?
They put up all the stakes.
Yeah.
They had every chance to lose that $1.50 standard SMS rates.
Yeah, but you paid like $60 or whatever for a box of eggs.
Oh, that's true. You've bought the thing.
You That's bought and you're sharing.
Maybe you split it in a appropriate percent. So you figure out. So if they spend R2 on the text, you spend R60.
They get one egg's worth of R10,000.
The problem is I would feel too polite to say anything if someone won with my egg sticker. But I would also feel not as good a human being enough to not let it go and be like, I wish I had.
I think if they win, they need to then pay into the egg box kind of post the winnings.
Or what you can do, the thing is, there's a way around this. And
it's to not share.
No, you can share, but you go, can I have the ticket? Because then they're not going to necessarily feel hard done by if you said it.
They will, though.
No. You're going to take a craft knife, get a little slit in everyone, and steal the tickets before they've even been opened.
And sew it up.
That'd be good.
While you're at it, you can also nibble some of the chocolate off the eggs.
I saw a similar thing happen at one Christmas I was at one year, where somebody bought, it was like stocking fillers. You know, people buy things for stocking fillers. It's new to me, so I'm saying it as if I have no idea what it is. But basically, instead, like as well as or instead of big presents, there'd be the stocking, and I would have little things like a thing of chewing gum and some
basically toiletries.
I don't know. No. I used to always get TDK tapes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. For taping your own little radio shows.
Yeah, taping my own little radio shows. Yeah. I haven't really progressed much since then.
Yeah. So the one person bought everyone a scratch card from the lottery or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
And basically it's worthless. It's a worthless present unless you happen to win £250,000 or whatever it was. But no one did.
But in that case, at least
the gesture was quite nice, but it only cost that person, you know, 50
but there it's clear because there you would keep the money. If won it, you would keep it.
So maybe Andrew...
The recipient of the scratch card.
But do you think if one of those people had won it, do you think those rules would be so hard and fast? Or do you think the person would suddenly go, I didn't really think this through. Can I have half?
No, I feel that there would at least be...
At least pay me the 50 cents
The thing is, with a scratch...
the price of the ticket.
The moment it's wrapped, it's a present. It's like if you were to wrap that marshmallow egg.
But it is wrapped.
It's a little wrapper. The thing. It's a box of presents for everyone. Yeah.
But I mean, are you sharing the chocolate or are you sharing the potential to win? And I think with a scratch card, you're sharing the potential to win. Mm-hmm. Whereas with a chocolate,
you're not sharing chocolate with a scratch card. Not the scratch cards I've seen.
And very few situations are you giving someone the marshmallow egg specifically so they can have that little piece of paper. And they open it up and you go, cool, I'll have the egg. Yeah. And you just enjoy texting that number.
I remember buying Simba chips specifically to get the little Tazo slammers from inside. I didn't care for the chips at all.
They're never going to bring back Tazos. I like them.
I found my collection recently.
Yeah, when you're already tidying up your room.
Yeah.
What ones did you have?
This is now... I have moved out of home because I was listening to last week's podcast. Yes, I do that sometimes. And it came across very much like I'm turning 30, so I'm moving out. I'm packing away my toys. Yes, I have toys, and that is childish, but they've moved with me from my home to a new home and now to another one. Okay? Just putting that out there.
All right. Back to Tazos. What ones did you have?
I think I had most of the Simba ones.
The Simba ones?
Yeah. I don't know. What were they? Oh, I had Pokemon ones.
Yeah,
I had Pokemon ones. And then I used to have, I don't think I have any more, the 95 World Cup ones.
Yeah.
I went nuts trying to get all of those. I remember Zunzan Brook quite specifically.
Have I ever told you my friend's Tazo story?
No.
All right. This is a great story. But it ends, there's a sadness to it.
Okay.
But I think the funniness outshines the sadness.
Okay.
Even though it would have been a lot of sadness for whoever this affected. But basically, I had a friend, I still have a friend, his name is Brent, and he went to school, I don't know where it was, I think it was in Tableview, some in that kind of area of Cape Town. And they, like most schools, had a problem with Tazos because they would cause lots of fighting. So people would kind of, I don't know, they would make deals like, I'll swap you Pikachu for, I don't know, what's it? War Charizard? Turtle.
War Turtle.
War Turtle. Wasn't he one?
War Turtle, please.
Ah, well. I like to think he was a War Turtle.
Yeah. He definitely looked like one.
And so there were problems, and so the school decided, look, we're gonna ban Tazos. And so they had a special assembly where they're gonna talk about this and put an end to Tazos. And this one teacher, he kind of stood up on stage. And he had a Tazo with him, and he was kind of saying, look, we are going to put an end to all this fighting with Tazos. Tazos are now officially banned from school.
Yeah.
And then as like kind of a theatrical move and to really drive the point home, he broke the Tazo in half in front of all these kids.
Oh, my word. This is sad.
This is like communion.
Now, the next day, he died.
Whoa.
Which is obviously
Jeepers.
Sad. It's obviously sad. But what it did do is it put the fear into the children because they were like, he wronged the Tazo. And the Tazo killed him.
Never break a Tazo, I guess.
Because there was a lot of things in the day about, you know, Tazos or Pokemon being evil and that kind of thing. And so kids just associated as like, well, he broke the Tazo, he died. And there's lots of children afraid to get rid of Tazos or to break them.
Yeah, well, that's, I guess, why I've still got my old collection.
Now, who here likes spicy food?
I mean, how spicy?
There is a sliding scale. Yeah. I like spicy where the spice doesn't overtake the meal. I like it to accent the flavors.
So you're not in the kind of, I'll put him as the Hugh Lashbrook category, where
set your food on fire.
Yeah, you put as much spice on it as possible so that actually eating the food becomes quite hard. You,
yeah,
you sort of you start sweating and. Yeah, so it's not that much. You can like a bit of
spice. The people who carry around a thing of Tabasco sauce in their bags.
I think our friend Nick does that. It's very interesting.
Okay, I'm not quite up there, but I do enjoy a good curry.
All right. So you like a good curry, Andrew?
I like mild to medium.
Mild to medium. Okay. I don't really like spice whatsoever. I wasn't raised in an Indian family or by a mom that cooked with flavorsome aromatic spices and hot things. So I'm really not used to it. And we have the situation often where we quite social, Christine and I, so we'll often go to people's houses for dinner and people that we don't necessarily know that well because they're linked to our church somehow.
We're very social. We just knock on random doors and invite ourselves in.
We don't quite do that. We're not yet at the Jehovah's Witness level of that kind of thing. We're almost there, but not quite. So we end up at a lot of people's houses and they kind of will do the polite thing and go, is there anything that you don't eat? Because these days, you know, there are vegans around us. It's true. Don't know often who a vegan's going to be. Sometimes a very nice person ends up being a vegan. You got to ask
such
these questions.
Such a tragedy.
So whenever that is asked, Christine, because she normally handles the admin, she will say, Simon doesn't like spicy food. Otherwise, pretty much anything will go. Because that's true. I don't like spicy food, but I will eat... you know, the weird cod liver thing that you put in front of me. If, you know, I'm a polite man, I'll try eat whatever on earth is put on the plate. It's how I was raised. Thank you, Susan. Now, we've had it twice where this has happened. The situation has happened and people have still made spicy food. And it's hard not to be slightly insulted when someone's taken the effort to ask you, is there anything you don't eat? And then they've gone out of their way to make something. In one case, it was pretty much butter chicken or whatever that one very well-known spicy thing is. And they even themselves, when they were eating, were like, oh yeah, we've made this thing a bit too hot, really. And it's like, if it's too hot for you, it's more than likely too hot for me.
The thing is, when you come to the sliding scale of spice, I hope this doesn't offend or anything, but you're almost... not even on the scale.
Yeah, like, no, I'm not.
I think like a cracking pepper over something deems it too spicy kind of thing. Pepper counts, it's a spice, I don't like it. So I think, maybe that needs to be brought across more in the answer.
When your hosts are sweating through the butter chicken,
definitely.
Then they've made a mistake.
And
that particular occasion, I felt... once again, I felt like I'm going to eat it. It's been put in front of my plate. I'm not going to just not eat it.
You're sweating face.
So I went through round one very difficultly.
Just like a really cheap sauna.
Just taking my time. And then the problem is that I was still hungry, but there was no... there's no polite way to just have the naan bread. That would have looked obvious. It would have been like, I remember him saying that thing about the spice. So then I had to go for round two. So that didn't go well. But the most insulted I've ever been is that this one very sweet couple, I'm sure they didn't mean anything bad by it, they made a lasagna, very nice meal, but put like chili in it. Now, no one in their right mind puts lots of chili.
I've never had a spicy lasagna.
They've gone out of their way to
they have.
Hurt you.
Yeah. They've gone, what was that? And she even said it quite proudly. She's like, I just threw in a bit of chili just to make things interesting.
Are you sure Christine's not saying Simon loves spicy food?
We have quite terrible cell phone reception here. There's just something, it's a broken telephone going on.
A little
on.
Bit of sabotage going on, I think. She just likes to see you sweat.
Yeah. What does she like spicy food?
She doesn't mind it. But I don't think she's going just on her own food.
I don't know.
Taste.
That would be the greatest lifetime prank.
Yeah. Get to my deathbed.
Every damn time.
Get to my deathbed and the jelly that arrives next to me has somehow got chili in it. What's going on? I just want to tell you, Simon, for all these years. Yeah. But I also had a horrible situation at a very lovely dinner place. If anyone's ever eaten at Fat Harry's, they do very good food there. Very nice burgers.
Fat Harry's.
I think it's called Fat Harry's. It's in Kenilworth.
Fat Harvey's.
Yeah, it's in that kind of neon cursive type. So you don't know if it's Fat Hammy's or Fat Harry's or...
I've always said Harvey's, but I think it might be Harry's.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know now. Anyway, that place. And I ordered a burger and they do that thing where they stuff their burgers with different things. So you can get your burger stuffed with cheese.
Or chili, I assume.
Yeah. So I had my burger obviously stuffed with cheese and started eating this thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is getting a bit hot. This is not this is not as cheesy as I expected. But because burgers, you can sometimes get slightly spicy burgers, yeah, depending on what meat they use and what they put into the meat, I guess.
What the cow's been eating. Yeah. Chilies.
It's a particularly Tabasco-loving cow. You might get a spicy burger. But I got halfway through this thing and I was like, oh, they actually have given me the wrong burger. But when you're halfway through, you can't exactly go, oh, sorry, this is wrong.
So, and it's ruined by that stage. I mean, you could eat anything after half a spicy burger. You wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah, it's true.
So anyway. Mouth on fire.
Yeah, if you invite me around, just don't put spice in the food, please.
It sounds like you might just have to adjust.
Yeah.
If the rate of frequency that this is happening, it's probably quicker for you to start enjoying spicy food than for people to get the message.
It's actually, even since those two occasions, it happened a third time. But it was such a sweet occasion that it doesn't even make my list of rants, because they were just a wonderful family that did happen to be an Indian family,
yeah,
like inviting me into their home for food. And it was a very lovely moment, and I wasn't going to let the spice get in the way.
It was just the sweat in your eyes.
Yeah.
Spoiling the mood.
He's crying. He's so emotional. Let's invite him around again. Hotter. ShopRite checkers.
Yeah, maybe. Do you know what? I'm gonna try hang out more with this family, because I think they will lure me into the spicy food, and with probably high quality spicy food as well.
Yeah.
And then I'll overcome my terrible situation I find myself in every time I'm invited to dinner.
Do it. Is it true? Is it false? True or false? Welcome to True or False. Woo-hoo. This is the round where we present little stories to each other, and then those who have been presented to can decide whether that story is true or false.
Sounds good.
We were just speaking a bit about some food stuff, so let's do true or false food themes.
All right.
Who's got something for me?
I'll go first. I'll choose a lie, because I've realized I often choose true things to say. So let's go for a lie this time. Okay. Am I double bluffing? Am I not double bluffing?
Good idea.
You'll find out at the end.
Am I lying? Yes.
All right. So.
Wait. Okay.
I once gave my mom a block of margarine as a gift.
Okay, let's unpack this. Was it like a birthday or a Mother's Day or something special, or just a you're a great mom, here's some margarine?
It was the latter. It wasn't a birthday.
Okay.
It wasn't happy birthday, mom, here's some flora. It was more what had happened is I think that we had had a fight, or there had been some form of transgression between us, and I felt bad, and I thought I'd get her some margarine to say sorry.
Smooth it over.
did you make things better by the end?
Very good. Very good.
Is this a thing that was there precedent for margarine being the curer of all fightings?
No, unfortunately not. I think what had happened is I was quite young at the time, and in my child brain, I knew that my mom, out of everyone in the family, was the one that most often bought margarine. And so I thought, if we're going to give her a gift...
The logic is sound.
It
does save her having to buy margarine.
Give her a block of margarine.
That's so interesting. Yeah, I cast my mind back to 100 podcasts ago, you said something about Christmas presents and not wanting to ever get practical gifts.
Yes,
you want the gifts to be quite out there. So it seems odd that you would apply the opposite for giving gifts.
Yes.
That this is like, margarine's going to run out. You will need more margarine. Yeah. It's not like one of these things that you might not even want again. Here, this is very practical.
That's a pretty safe bet as well.
It's what? That it'll...
That you'll use
well received.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it says sorry very well, though. I don't know, you know...
Do we have an age that you might have been?
I'm guessing maybe 6 or 7. I don't really know.
How did you buy margarine at the age 6 or 7?
So that's the thing. I must have been old enough to have money and have my own money. I don't think I stole her money to say sorry and then bought her margarine with it. So I must have had my own money.
Bear in mind, this is all a lie.
Yeah, I know.
No, it's definitely a lie.
You're not convincing us that it's the truth.
No.
If that was your...
And to make it even more unbelievable, I was camping at the time.
Ah, well.
Which is maybe... in my lying world, why I would have had less of an option of things to choose from.
Right, because sometimes those vinkles only have margarine and ice.
Although I'm almost certain they would have had chocolate, potentially flowers, or at least flour. If they're selling margarine,
they might
have flour.
Margarine and flour, she could have made chocolate. What? I've never baked before.
Did you say what kind of margarine, like what format or container?
He said flora container. Earlier.
No, I don't think it was, if I'm going to lie about it, let me make up a realistic lie.
Yeah.
I think it was... who makes the ones that are in the block? Like, it's a block
It's
quite hard.
So it wasn't a packet.
It's golden,
Rama.
Red, and blue.
Rama.
Is that Rama?
Have you guys ever bought a packet of margarine?
Sachet?
Yeah.
Yeah, once.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. It's fun. Like the worst idea ever.
That is strange.
It's good for camping, which Simon apparently suddenly was.
I know, but he bought a block.
What did you do that you were sorry for?
I have no idea. Oh, wait, I can make something up.
Yeah, make something up, please.
Hypothetically,
murder.
Yeah, maybe I had killed another child in the campsite, and I felt bad about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, butter will do it.
But this changes everything, because now I feel like the story as a whole is definitely a lie.
Well, the thing is, I think he was trying to make us think it was a lie, but then he told a true story, but now he's just embellished it with lies.
No, well, I mean,
so
I
now don't know.
No, look, rewind. I don't know what I'd done to upset my mom.
You can't remember. But it was valid.
Yeah.
Or was it such a tiny transgression that you kind of had a scale of things to advise? Like, this was a mild backhand comment, margarine.
Yeah.
Insulting her dress sense is, you know.
No, definitely. I mean, if the margarine, hadn't worked, I imagine it would have gone back. Gotten some jungle oats that hadn't worked. Maybe gone back, gotten some spaghetti noodles.
Yeah.
I never know.
Okay. I'm going to say it's true. I think Simon's a whack job. This is something that he might have done.
Interesting.
And I think, on top of that, that he's bought his wife margarine since to say sorry because it worked when he was a kid.
Yeah. I also think it's true.
And you are both. Correct! It is true!
Yay. Well, I'm glad. I think it's better that we live in a world where that's true. Do you genuinely not remember what you'd done wrong?
No, I don't know. You know, you're young, so it was probably just... I'd probably done something that had upset my mom, and I'm guessing that there were tears involved.
Okay.
And for some reason
you
I thought...
onions.
Yeah. For some reason I thought that was the right thing to do.
Okay. Well, that's good. You guys still have a healthy relationship now, so obviously
it worked. I mean, I'm guessing it was because of that moment.
Yeah, could have gone either way.
She saw that I cared. I once made my mom, this wasn't for fighting, but it was because I think it was Mother's Day, or maybe I just wanted to give her a little treat.
Yeah.
But I had begged her to buy the banana Nesquik.
Yeah.
The banana Nesquik wasn't very nice.
No.
So it kind of stayed in in the cupboard for ages until this day where I thought I'd treat her to flavored milk in bed. And I made her this banana Nesquik. She was like, no, I don't like this.
I don't want this either.
No one likes this. So that backfired. But the margarine, I think, did well, although it made her quite confused.
Okay, well, my true fact is that I spent one day as a waiter.
One day.
And then I gave it up.
Okay, where were you waitroning at?
It was at Barusso's.
Barusso's? How old were you?
I was 19. It was first year.
Okay, I confirm that Barusso's does exist, and Andrew has made it past 19 by the very fact that he's
19 meters.
Yet today.
Okay, yeah, so that's why I couldn't fit in the room.
Yeah, people ordering to your knee. He's not responding.
Did you give up or were you fired?
No, I gave up.
Why?
I gave up. It was such a torturous experience.
One day was a torturous experience.
Yeah,
I can believe this.
It was completely overwhelming.
All right,
and okay. I was a shattered man at the end of it.
Now, did you? So I know that sometimes when you become a waiter. Or waitron. Sorry, I'm politically correct. I use the word waitron.
Oh, you weren't. You were in retrospect.
I've heard stories that you get given the menu to learn, and you have to learn your menu and know your menu well. Was this the case? Had you been through some sort of thing where you had to learn the barista's menu.
Well, I've been to the restaurant a few times.
Did you think, I'm coming here so frequently, it'd be better if I just worked here? Now I can stay. They've been kicking me out. Now I can stay for more hours.
No, it was just to try and make some extra money and get some experience.
What is this restaurant, Barista?
It's an Italian restaurant. It's a pizza.
Is it that little one on that corner?
Yeah.
Yeah, I right.
So you didn't have to learn the menu.
I did not have to
learn
the menu.
You arrived on your first day of work. What happened?
So I arrived early. I had to get there at like 5.
5 in the morning or 5 in the evening?
5 in the evening.
I was going to say, because Barista's is pizza. No one's eating pizza at 6 a.m. unless it's pizza they bought the night before.
No, but I mean, this was like, this was supposed to be a training week or training few days.
Right, so you didn't even make it to being a waiter.
No. First day of training.
All right.
That was it. I got there. They basically showed me the deal, what I was supposed to do. And I mean, you know how restaurants work.
Yeah, I do.
Get there. And
you order food and it comes to your table.
And I mean, I think I was assigned like maybe 2 tables.
This doesn't sound overwhelming.
Yeah, I know, but it was. It was like,
oh, of course.
Trust me, it was.
Okay, we are doing true or false. Right.
Exactly. So, and yeah.
So were you ashamed to have left? Sorry.
No.
Were you ashamed to have left?
No.
I just held your head up very high and left.
I left at the end of the shift. It's not like I walked out early, but I just decided this really wasn't for me. It was incredibly stressful. It was like kind of overload, people all around you, trying to remember
people,
the order.
You don't have to remember, like, you write it down. People ask for a kind of pizza, you write it down, you take it to a guy.
I'm going to interject here. I apologize if I've shared this particular story on audio format before.
Yeah.
But I do remember I've been a waiter for approximately 1 minute in my life.
Really?
And this is because Dylan and I were playing a show at a place in Claremont, one of these kind of fancy restaurants there. And they thought it would be a great idea if we pretended to be waiters for the first kind of little bit of the evening.
45 minutes. forever.
And then after that little moment where we had been waiting the tables, all of a sudden we'd burst into song and we'd walk towards the guitars and we'd actually be the entertainment. Because, yes, no one knows who on earth we are.
Yeah.
So that would have worked. That would have been...
It's the perfect plan.
Yeah. So I remember being told that there were 4 different types of bread and we had to go to the table to offer these 4 different types of bread. That's 4 things to remember, only 4 names.
That's a fancy restaurant, though.
Pretty much got it wrong every time. I pretty much was like, cool, we've got rye, we've got ciabatta, we've got Saska Sam. And I couldn't get it right. So I found that little bit overwhelming. Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's not what put me off weight training.
Well, but I mean, so at the end of the night, I basically got like quite a dirty look from the manager.
And dirty as in like sexual dirty?
No. As in basically,
that's why you never went back.
Basically, every time he was watching me work, he was disappointed in what I was doing. And I just felt like I don't need this.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna not do this. And then subsequently, I never tried waitering again.
Yeah, and training can be like that. I remember doing volunteer firefighting training, and at the end of that, I felt like, well, I'm not waking up at 6 a.m. to do this again.
Yeah. Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Wow,
have you ever? It's terrifying. Not because you threat
Wait,
of
are you
fire.
Being serious now?
Yeah, I am being
I
serious.
You doing this.
What threat of exercise is really what it is. Because it didn't look like I was even going to get to see live flames.
Yeah.
And they made you run around to Kai Forest for, you know, the better half of your morning.
Yeah.
Never again. No,
people,
someone else.
People like love doing that, and they're not even firefighters.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm not, I don't know. Gary can go join that, but certainly not I.
Okay. Well, I believe the story, and I think it's true.
Okay.
Wait, this, I'm referring to Andrew's story, not your firefighting.
Do you believe his story?
I do believe your one, okay. Yes.
All right, I kind of believe it as well, but maybe it's not true. Maybe you came up with a very mundane story to trap us, so I'm going to say you're lying.
Okay, well, I am lying.
Yay!
Wow!
Yeah, completely.
Very well
lying.
Played.
Well, I mean, you can spot a lie because he had literally no insight into the world of waitering whatsoever. Yeah. Why did you stop? Oh, it was hard. Why was it hard? It was hard. I was given 2 tables.
That's true.
It was hard.
Okay. I should have gone off that.
Yeah.
It just seems like something you might have done.
Yeah,
obviously,
sorry.
That's the nature of the game. So my story is that I did a sushi making course in Thailand with a family member.
Mm-hmm.
And halfway through, they brought out people scantily clad,
ooh,
on which to place, on whom to place the sushi, as you see in some of these films. That part we did not expect.
Okay, interesting. How, when you say scantily clad, how scantily clad are we talking?
I'm talking full scant.
Oh. Full scant.
Oh, yes.
Like me in the evenings.
Yes, except without even a t-shirt.
Wow. Okay, that's interesting. Now, so you weren't expecting it. Did the people around you look like they were expecting it?
I think a lot of the people around were Thai.
Yeah.
How many people were there?
Maybe 20-ish.
20. Okay, so that's 20. So that's at least 20 pieces of sushi. Maybe more. Maybe like three per person.
Yeah.
So it's like 60 pieces of sushi. And that's not going to cover anything.
No, each kind of desk, what would you call it? Each station was making sushi.
Yeah.
A bunch of sushi.
And each station got a person.
Each station got a person, walked up.
Okay, so let's go back. So this happens. You're obviously looking at the people you're with. Maybe Roxy was there.
She might have been.
Yeah, your sister. You're looking at your sister going, I didn't expect this. And your sister's looking at you going, well, don't ask me.
Yeah.
And then you look around at the people next to you, and what are their expressions?
Fairly not perplexed, which I found even more perplexing.
Yeah.
Because obviously this was a thing that was commonplace.
Yeah.
And we'd maybe just, because I think the thing with Thailand is there's always 100 million versions of the same thing that you want to do or buy.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of a case of you choose the wrong alley to go down and you end up at a sushi place that you make sushi to put onto naked body parts.
Okay. And were these scantily clad people male or female or both? Because Thailand is
That's obviously the thing. They were female and or both.
And or both. Okay.
There were no obvious male figures, but it is, as you say, quite confusing sometimes. And I think you can tell them.
And did you, in the spirits of experiencing this cultural thing, did you put your sushi on a naked body and then eat the sushi off it?
No. What had happened is I'd got very embarrassed. Mm-hmm. This is quite a number of years ago. And it wasn't just my sister there. My dad was there too.
Okay.
And I think the sheer embarrassment of the occasion and the kind of staring down at my feet, not really wanting to be alive, let alone be in the room anymore, meant that we kind of gave a polite little bow and said, okay, thank you, we're done. Because you pay up front, so it wasn't like we're just leaving the thing. But I don't know, that I guess our person for our station must have felt a bit sad that they
What's wrong with me that you didn't want to
well, you could have at least
pay up back.
Taken a big, what do they call it, slab of seaweed and just chucked it on top. Cover up.
Like a little towel.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, no.
You can get clever with the sushi. Do some vajazzling while you're there. Now, so, okay, this sounds potentially believable. Did you subsequently, as you're leaving the place, did you look at the signage or something and go, oh, that's where we went wrong? It's clearly sushi XXX.
You've spotted the thing. There was a big post of a naked person, sushi, and an arrow pointing to where you're going to put it on. No, it was nothing like that. It was just words I couldn't read.
Okay.
And my sister, for anyone who doesn't know, she's been living in Thailand for about 6 years, I think.
Yeah.
But this was very early on, so there was no sense of, Rux, do you want to read that sign for us?
Yeah.
Because she'd have gone, no.
I would love to.
Was this place just like really highly rated because of people, most people loving that?
It would have been. I think, as I said, it's
NipAdvisor.
This is genuinely just a place that you walk down, like off the main street down an alley, and you kind of get called down the alley beckoned down by one of the promotional people,
and those people have clothes on.
They had clothes on, so how were we to know? See, everything else was clothed up until then.
I feel so here's a problem with this section of the show, is that when you've been friends for far beyond 10 years, you kind of hear most of the big awkward stories before this moment. And this sounds like something that you would have said at some stage.
Do you think you've remembered every awkward story I've told you?
Well, I remembered a similar awkward story that you've told me about your trip to Thailand. That wasn't the story. And I figure when you were telling me that story...
Oh, no, that one. That was much later.
Yeah, but if you had told me this, you know, you would have told me this other one. But but I don't know. I want it to be true because it sounds incredibly surprising and definitely an awkward family situation.
Are you going to go
false? Is dad going to stay? Is he not? So I want to go true.
Yeah, yeah. We're all leaving. I'm just going to hang back. I've just got to tie my shoelace.
I think I forgot my wallet, yeah.
Right, I've just got to tie my shoelace.
Oh, very good.
Because Thailand.
No. Sorry.
Well, I think it's true.
All right, I'm going to go just for the sake of it, because of just my deep desire for it to be true. I'm going to say it's true as well.
It's false.
Imagine that.
It is all false. However, the story that you alluded to is very true, but we won't talk about that now because we've run out of time.
Would you rather?
Welcome to Would You Rather. This is a section where basically we look online and we find interesting Would You Rather questions. Mm. And in this case, I have some questions and you have to guess. Well, you have to tell me what you would do, but then tell me what I would rather do.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. We're sticking with that format.
Done.
All right.
So, question
one.
You
can't change your answer after, though.
No.
I know some of these things is very much like two sides of the same coin.
Correct.
So if we go, you would definitely do this, you know? Would I? No, I'm just going to change it.
No, we're going to use...
You need to tattoo your answers to your face.
No, I've looked through the questions and I have the answer that I would choose in my head.
All right.
It's not written down.
Let me just tell Claire that I don't have to interrogate her later as to the truthfulness of the honor statements. System
here. You do that. Okay, question one. Would you rather have a head the size of a tennis ball or a watermelon?
I'd rather have a watermelon.
what's wrong with having a watermelon?
Yeah.
No, it's a head
the size of a watermelon.
Yes.
Oh, okay. It's a badly worded. It definitely changes it.
Would you rather have this terrible thing or a watermelon?
Yeah. Watermelons are great.
That's very interesting. I already feel like I have a head the size of a watermelon. Thanks for bringing it up. No hats ever fit me. My head is deceptively deep.
Yeah.
And does it, though, flirt if you put yourself in a swimming pool?
Have you ever played that game, which we used to play at Scouts, where you oil
ball or watermelon.
You oil up a watermelon and then you throw it into a lake and you divide into two teams and the first team to break it open wins.
Break it open.
Did you say you oil up a watermelon?
Yeah. You cover a watermelon in oil.
Yeah.
And...
But that'll come off when you throw it in.
No, it takes ages, and it's so slippery; it's like impossible to
catch.
And
breaking it open with your bare hands.
Yeah, when you're swimming, when you can't stand, it's incredible fun.
Very strange game.
It's so great.
I've seen people store watermelons in their pools to keep them cold, but then I've also seen tennis balls in pools. So I don't know where I'm going with
that. You don't often have a situation where someone comes over to your house, sheepishly rings the doorbell and says, "Sorry, my friends and I were playing outside and we accidentally lost our watermelon in your garden."
Yeah, geez, that was the worst. Shotgun nut. Ding dong.
Oh wait, no, wrong round.
The definitive thing about this is that with this head the size of a tennis ball, you can build it up to kind of look a bit more normal sized. To anyone out there with
the other way around.
Tennis ball heads that I referred to our heads as normal. It's very head normative.
Yeah.
But it's very hard to, with the large watermelon cranium, to then shave it down to look,
so you're favoring the tennis ball.
And it's got a nice stubble. The tennis ball. It's got the perfect stubble.
I'm thinking watermelon because if I was to picture in my head, hey Arnold, who has a big head, right?
Yeah.
Compared to the Goombas from the Super Mario Brothers movie, who had very small heads, I'd say the Goombas look far more silly. It's better to go the Hey Arnold
approach.
I think
the fault of the Goombas is that they've got very big bodies too, though. I think if they...
Don't you just automatically have a big body if your head is the size of a tennis ball?
Wait. it's all relative. I think the Goombas standing next to Mario have a big body and the head the size of Mario's head. I'm going tennis ball, and I think Andrew would go watermelon because his body looks like it needs the watermelon size head to look normal. It's a very big body.
I'm definitely going watermelon, and I think Andrew would also go watermelon
as well. Wait, can I quickly ask? Because a tennis ball is completely spherical, and it doesn't matter which way on it is, whereas a watermelon, could you have it lengthways like Beaker from the Muppets?
Yeah.
So it's standing tall, or does it have to kind of be sideways like a rugby ball? Or could it be long ways, like I've already admitted that I basically have?
In case you're hearing some shuffling, Andrew is furiously looking around the room for the answer, it seems.
Thank you. I think it would be sideways.
Sideways.
You'd have the width, yeah.
Not deep.
Yeah, not
if
deep.
If it was deep, I might go for it, because I've basically, I'm halfway there.
Okay.
But I'm going tennis ball.
What was yours again?
I've gone for watermelon, and I think you'll go the same.
Yeah, well, I would go watermelon.
Yep.
So, perfect. Well done. You both get a point. Okay.
Do you have any reasoning? I mean, we spent about 20 minutes.
Show us you're working out, Andrew.
A tennis ball is ridiculous. Right, question two.
But your beard. Think about the beard.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Okay, question two. Would you rather have a time machine that only goes back in time or a time machine that only goes forward in time?
Oh, that's a ridiculous question. Why would you ever want a time machine that goes forward in time? You can just wait. Just patiently wait it out.
Because, Simon, you sometimes like to get the latest iPhones. And sometimes they haven't come out. And okay. You need to sit and wait. And you can't. And you're jittery. And you're biting your fingers to a stump.
It's true. Well, you got
to fly all the way to England and wait for a whole day in a line while I do nothing. Because I've got nothing to do that day.
Wait, did you do that?
I did do that. Yeah.
It was the
goodness,
worst.
Ridiculous.
We were travel buddies for 2 months and he spent all day standing in a line.
Goodness. How are you still friends?
I don't regret it, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was better than when you bought that iPhone and it worked for a day.
I didn't stand in a line, though, so who's the joke on? Me.
Okay. Impress your own answer.
Going back in time is pointless. Can you affect the time? Can you affect the outcome?
Well, you
of
won't
time?
Know because you can only go backwards in time.
No, you will definitely know because I could choose to go backwards in time by like an hour.
But you won't know.
But you won't know.
What do you mean you won't know?
You won't know what you now
because you're
knows
back in time.
This hour to be like when you go back.
You'll never know.
Yeah. What do you mean you'll never know?
You're going back. You only know what's happening right now.
But you're going back in a time machine.
Yeah, but then you can't come then back. You'll already
you
know
have to
that.
Wait then.
Yeah, but if you've gone back 5 minutes, you only have to wait 5 minutes.
Yeah, but everything moves on 5 minutes.
Yeah.
What? Why am I feeling like you're making me out to be the stupid one?
Right. You are right
so
now.
We are in this room right now.
Yes.
I go into my time machine.
Yeah.
I go back 5 minutes.
Yes.
I walk in through that door. I'm watching us three still talking in a microphone. I can affect the situation as much as I want, and I can wait 5 minutes to see what the outcome was.
No.
No.
You never catch up
to
the
outcome. You're not playing by the rules of time travel.
What do you mean you never catch up to the outcome?
You never catch up to the outcome.
Of course you do. I just wait 5 minutes and I'm...
But that's a new outcome.
Yeah,
Jelly.
But then you can know...
There's the moment.
I'm sorry, listeners. I'm not going to edit this out. I'm going to keep it in.
Because
I'm
out of confusion.
It's interesting.
And stupid.
I'd go forward to see what it's like and live in what it's like.
Okay.
Because I can't come back again.
And me, what would I do?
Actually, no. Stuff it. I'd take this one chance. You've given me this one chance. I'd go back 65 million years and see the dinosaurs. I'd die instantly, but it would be worth it.
Yeah, so you won't be able to... catch up.
No. I'll just wait it out.
Yeah. All right. I wouldn't go forward because I feel like I have patience to wait that out. I would go backwards if I was to go anywhere. I might not use a time machine. We've spoken about time travel before.
Yeah.
I think it might just be too much of a risk, too much of an effort, too much could go wrong. I could become obsessed with it. But if I was to do something, I would go back. And I think you would go back as well because if you go forward, you accidentally miss the birth of your child and all that kind of thing.
You
and
see,
you wouldn't want to do that.
I was about to say that I think Andrew would go forward to the birth of his child. So looking forward to it is he.
Well, I mean, you guys have really added an emotional slant to this that I was not expecting.
Andrew hasn't been thinking about his unborn child.
And so that aside, you're both wrong. I would go forward.
I just said you'd go forward.
Dylan gets a point.
to your unborn child.
Wait, let me try to see if that works for me. I just said you'd go forward.
No, you don't actually have a time machine to
just
change your point.
Just go back and change.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I would go forward because going back, everything only gets worse. Like, you go back a little bit, no Wi-Fi. You go back further, no electricity. You go back further, no food.
Well, that's optimistic that the sun's not going to burn out.
Yeah.
And
I think there's a huge contingency of people saying that it's getting worse as it goes forward.
Yeah, but you have Wi-Fi.
Basically, you don't want a time machine at all, just strong Wi-Fi.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, fair enough.
So, okay. And the last question is... And this is applicable to Dylan.
Did I get an answer?
No, you do get an answer.
I'm still here, Andrew. Just because he started strong and began the podcast. And
you'll understand why in a second.
Okay.
Would you rather live in the house of your dreams, but it doesn't have internet access, or your current home for the rest of your life?
How is this only applicable to me?
Well, just because you're moving at the moment.
Yeah, well, but how do you know that your current home doesn't have Wi-Fi?
No. No, the home that you're currently living in,
yeah, doesn't matter. Doesn't have Wi-Fi. What dreams are these? There's a flaw in the question. The house of the dreams automatically has
Wi-Fi. Wait, I'm confused again.
Okay, so
yes,
you can live in the most amazing house, biggest mansion, incredible stuff, everything sorted out, but it doesn't have internet.
That's okay. I've got it on my phone.
Okay, or you live in your current abode forever, for the rest of your life.
Was this really a question on
this
the internet?
This was an internet question.
I don't think I'd need Wi-Fi that much. I'd rather live in the cool place that, like, you know, I can finally have that cinema room where everyone comes to watch a film. Yeah. As long as we're not watching it via the internet, we'll be fine.
Yeah, and no one's on their phones. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I love it. I'd take the mansion. I'll do the mansion, Wi-Fi please. Things at work.
But Andrew clearly wouldn't. I say he chooses where he is now because of the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, because he just loves Wi-Fi.
You're both correct.
This is so interesting.
Yo, Andrew,
I don't even have that good internet.
I think when you talk about
the house of your dreams is the house you're living in now with better internet.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's as far as you can stretch your dreams.
I'm basically satisfied.
Cool, I'm going to get you a router for Christmas.
Thank you. And that's Would You Rather.
I'm starting to get tinnitus. You know that faint ringing in your ear?
I had that earlier this evening.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
Quiz!
That's right, it's quiz time again. And this week's quiz is the Natalie Portman quiz.
Right.
Yeah. Exciting times.
Natalie Port some product she didn't want.
Natalie Port round.
Yo, you're getting there. Natalie Port. What is it? What did I say the joke was? Natalie Portman one. It worked better this afternoon.
That's worse than any others. Hold on.
I said it wrong. Natalie Portman one.
No, Natalie Portman. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Better. Well, we were starting anyway. Question one. How old was Natalie when she became a vegetarian?
Beep.
Simon.
She was quite clearly 7.5 years old.
7.5 years old. Dylan?
13.
13. Beep. Simon, incredibly close with Thank 8.
You. Awesome.
Amazing. Nice. Yeah, well done.
Thanks. I know you guys vegetarians.
Question two.
Did you say vegetarian?
Yes.
I thought you said veterinarian. She clearly became a veterinarian at 13.
Yeah, passed all the courses.
Okay.
Well, question two. After that huge blunder, where was Natalie when she was discovered at the age of 9 by a Revlon beauty scout? So where was she? Yeah, Dylan beat first.
Airport.
Beep. I think she was in her high school fashion show.
Incorrect. Both. Me. You want to keep going?
Got another one.
Yeah.
A park.
No.
Beep. Christmas Day service at a church.
No.
At a Revlon show.
No. This is somewhere where even we could go.
The shops.
Even we could go. Yeah. The movies.
No.
Beep. The garage.
Give us another clue.
Service station. Okay, it's food related.
Beep. A restaurant.
McDonald's.
Yeah, what food?
Beep. Fast food.
What food?
Tacos.
No.
Mexican.
Spaghetti.
No. KFC.
Yay, Dylan. Pizza. A pizza parlor.
What was she doing eating? Isn't pizza normally have...
Getting noticed.
You can get vegetarians. Okay, question three. What home electronic device does she not own?
Television.
Is the right answer.
I was definitely going to say television.
But you beeped too slow.
No, really was. Can I share
your home electronic buzzer was quicker?
Quarter point, maybe?
You beeped too slow. I'm sorry. I would love to give you the point, but I can't. It's the rules. Right, question four.
Yep.
Where does Natalie reportedly like spending her free time in New York?
Naboo. Star Wars joke.
Times Square.
Okay, now this is something that you would do in the evenings with friends, and it might be embarrassing. Or might not.
Charades. Karaoke.
Is the right answer, Simon. Well done. Okay.
You hear my answer.
Didn't think you'd get that. What? Your answer was wrong. No. Okay.
Carry on.
Okay, question two. Is filming good? Which film were they not in?
She was not
here. Here we go.
She's not in As Good
of
as a Guest.
This list. Aww. Right. The list is as follows. Leon: The Professional. developing.
The professional colon.
The colon professional.
Yeah.
I am Leon, colon professional.
What was the second one?
So Leon, colon, the professional, developing, yeah. Heat, yeah. Separate movies, beautiful, beautiful girls, everyone says goodbye.
Beep. I don't think she was in Heat.
Okay.
I don't think she was in developing.
Okay, well, unfortunately, you're both wrong. It was Everyone Says Goodbye. Yeah.
It's Everyone Says Hello.
It's Everyone Says I Love You.
Whatever. Sick of the format.
Okay. I
can't preempt anything.
Well, question three is finish the...
Beep. Hold on.
Sentence, man.
Quote. The first quote is, I am not someone who will sacrifice all for the cinema. My life will be always...
Beep. First priority.
Full of friends and stuff.
No, I'm going to give it to Simon. More important was the correct answer. That's close
a good
enough.
Give.
Yeah,
that was a good definitely give. More
Can
than
you
money.
Start doing quotes that they've said in movies?
No. Okay. Cool. Question. Well,
you had to ask.
Quote two is: I loved school so much that most of my classmates considered me a
Star Wars princess queen
nerd.
Incorrect. I'm going to give it to Simon again because it was dork. So
I'm sorry, those are wildly different.
Nerd and dork are the same thing.
Look them up.
Dork is a whale's penis, isn't it?
There we go. Okay.
I don't think anyone in her class was actually going, that Natalie Portman looks a bit like a whale's penis.
What a whale's penis. Is
right.
it whale or camel?
I always thought it was whale. Could be camel. Either way, it's penis-based.
Okay, well, let's move on. And the last quote is, everyone dreams of living in...
Beep! Hollywood.
No.
Beep America.
None of these are Star Wars references. I'm sorry.
Beep America.
No.
Beep. It's a big city.
Kansas.
No.
It's a big city.
New York.
Yeah.
Beep. New York.
No.
London.
No. Beep.
San Francisco.
No.
Paris.
Beep. Washington.
Here's the right answer.
Thank
well done.
Natalie.
And we're going to move on to round four, which is distant relative. And the distant relative is vegetarianism.
Oh, awesome. Beep. These Tim Fish Hudson.
I don't know what kind of point you get for that. Maybe like
he's so beeper heavy this time. I like it.
It's because I changed my beeper.
Okay, well, the first question is, which country formed the first vegetarian society in 1847?
Istanbul.
Istanbul.
Sweden,
it's which country?
Yeah, I didn't
Sweden?
Hear you correctly.
Incorrect.
I definitely
Beep.
Knew Istanbul
Netherlands.
Wasn't a country.
No.
Beep. Canada.
It was called the Vegetarian Society.
Beep. America.
No.
Yeah, it was
Beep.
England.
Greenland.
Yes, yeah. You are correct, Dylan. Well done. Well done. The England was the right.
The England?
The England.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
the United England.
Question two. Who was the first Renaissance figure to advocate vegetarianism?
Beep.
Here we go.
Leonardo da Vinci.
Is the right answer.
Big time. Jeepers. I've read his memoirs.
That's a lie.
I'm impressed. Okay. Cool.
You got a very good memoir-y.
Did you know that?
No.
I didn't know
he
that.
He would have guessed it, surely.
Wow.
You hear Renaissance, you think, Leo.
Oh, I was thinking Mozart, actually.
Fair enough.
I don't even know if that's like where it is. That's why I'm dropping my stuff right now.
Well, question three. What is the correlation between vegetarianism and IQ?
Beep. Yes. Apparently, vegetarians have higher IQ.
Is the right answer. Apparently, that
I
is...
I like apparently, though.
That is true.
Because it changes week to week.
Totally.
There's a new... Facebook ad.
It depends, like, how much aubergine you've eaten.
Well, I can reveal it as we come up to the last question that the scores are tied.
Oh, my word.
What?
So,
for the first time ever.
So, you are going to need to get at least two of these things.
Okay.
Okay. The question is, what, apart from meat, will Jain, J-A-I-N, vegetarians not eat? Yes.
Roots.
Wait, sorry.
Is one of the correct answers.
Is this aimed completely at Dylan? Or
no.
What?
What? Is this Andrew's looking directly at you and said, you have to get these things?
No,
pointing
no.
At, oh,
come
I
on, you know
to...
this by now.
No, what?
You know that it's a quiz.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but then your body actions seem to be
just
directed purely at Dylan.
You didn't know an answer.
He's
sitting in the middle
of the two of us.
No.
Stop wasting time.
You actually looked at
I've
him.
I've got another one.
I am sitting forwards. Dylan is already
I wasn't
on
even
one
listening
point.
To the question.
Okay, I'll repeat the question. You hold on to that. You hold on to that.
It's the long
because he's being ridiculous.
Buzz.
I am serious leeway here. just you've got a point. Just wait.
I'm holding on to it.
No, don't. Just stop that. Okay. Here we go. The question is,
all right.
What, apart from meat, will Jain, J-A-I-N, vegetarians not eat?
Beep.
Roots.
Sorry. For that kind of cheat, Dylan gets a point. Okay. Yes.
My other one is leaves.
Okay, is incorrect.
Beep. They won't eat potatoes.
Incorrect.
Eggs?
Is the right answer. Dylan, wins the quiz. Yay! With 7 points to 5.
Interesting. In my mind, it's still a draw because of the roots thing.
The other option was honey. They don't eat eggs, honey, and root vegetables.
Okay.
Completely bad about root. Cool. Thanks for listening, everyone. It was really fun again. I'm sorry I didn't sketch anything, but it's too dark by now, so yeah. I'm not going to.
We're going to have to move that section earlier in the quiz. In the show.
Never show anyone. Does anyone want to see? Write in if you want to see the thing that we've...
I know Claire wants to see it.
If we even just get two people wanting to see it, we'll continue it.
Yeah.
But if we don't...
You got to either tweet it to @BrotherStreep on Twitter or Facebook it, Facebook.com/BrotherStreep. Let us know that you want a sketch show to carry on. Otherwise, have a great weekend.
And if you enjoy the show, share it.
At the end of the week. Because it's Monday now, definitely.
Yeah, have a good week. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.